afternoon and welcome to the Ramble Room. This is Diane. I'm not really here by myself. Ken always has to be here because I don't know how to do this stuff. But we're doing it a little bit differently today. This is a show that we recorded back in April of this year. And we had some of the homeschooling moms that I know who have put their kids through high school and college. Some of the moms who were still working on that but had a lot of experience with that kind of thing. Got together and decided to answer some questions for new homeschoolers. There are a couple of questions that can be really intimidating for new homeschoolers that if you haven't thought about them before, you kind of need to have some ammunition. The first one is sort of a two-parter. A lot of times people will ask in a shocked voice, but when they get to high school, you'll put them back in school, right? Because you couldn't do high school by yourself, could you? And the follow-up to that is, but what about college? That's the first question. The second one is, but what about socialization? Now that one is really, that question must come from having heard other people ask that question because it really shows a lot of ignorance about homeschooling. And I think that this recording will kind of answer both of those at the same time. At the end of the 2020 school year, the last quarter when the mask mandates went in place, some of us were thinking, a lot of people are not going to put up with this. We're going to have an influx of new homeschoolers in Sheridan this year, and we did. So in April, some homeschool moms who had put their kids through high school and some of them through college got together and did a little workshop for some people to help them answer these questions. And one of our ideas was to put all of this information in one place so that every time somebody wanted to know this, we didn't have to all get together again and answer all these questions. So I hope that it'll be helpful for you. The first speaker is Jan Loftus. She is the mother of a son and daughter who are grown and both married now, and has a grandchild and will have another one in a few months. The son and the daughter she homeschooled have both gone through college. One is a nurse and one is a lawyer. Jan does a good job of telling about herself as she goes, so I will leave it at that.
We started homeschooling in 2002, pulling the kids out of public school when Alex was going into fifth grade and Jake into second and went through high school. And I'm going to start with a disclaimer that I'm going to give you some of my opinion, and I hope I don't offend you, and just keep listening later then for the kind of the factual nuts and bolts if the beginning isn't your cup of tea. But when I was young, it was widely considered good for young people to go to college and get liberal arts degrees and expand their horizons. And 40 years later, many of the people that would have encouraged me to do such a thing would say, don't go for that purpose. I would recommend steering clear of college unless your child wants a career that needs the schooling. Why do I say that? Well, a couple reasons. A man in Sheridan told me his son went off to school with the conservative values of the family and came back a liberal. So whichever way your family is, you might see a change in your child. Maybe not. Maybe your child is grounded and you wouldn't. There's also the money aspect. Why should they go for 4, 5, 6 years and potentially rack up crushing debt and not need that schooling for what they end up doing? If it isn't required, they can start earning money much earlier. We had an electrician come out where we live near Buffalo, and he brought a young man who was homeschooled, and he had started working for him at age 16. And this young fellow was living at home, and he told me he was saving up money to buy a house, starting at age 16 instead of somewhere into the 20s. Some things you might find, particularly at UW, that would be offensive to your values and doesn't really go along with the values of the majority of this state. And for a single course, your student will pay nearly $1,000. And if the course doesn't line up with your family, maybe it's not something you want your child into, but some of the things are required. For any degree, you have to take a course that may not line up with what your family believes. Your child can get a minor in sustainability, for instance, at UW. Well, I wonder if that coursework would be for or against Wyoming coal and Wyoming beef. Wyoming Constitution mandates that all students there at UW take civics. Sounds like a good thing. But at least a few years ago, and I doubt if it's improved, the textbook was very progressive that was being used. So if that's not where your family's at, they're going to have to take that course if they go to UW. And who's paying for it? A lot of the money is coming from the Wyoming citizens. Before I started homeschooling the kids, I woke up one morning, and it was just days before, and I thought, I didn't even think of spelling. What am I going to do? How can I possibly do this? I can't do it. And this could apply also to your preparing your kids for college. This verse that I believe the Lord brought to my mind from Mark chapter 8. And it says, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul?" And so if your child can't bear what might be coming at them in school, in colleges, maybe it's not for them, or maybe it's not for them yet. But suppose your child wants to be a nurse or a lawyer like mine. Then there are certain hoops you have to jump through if you're going to do that. We are blessed to have Sheridan College here, where you can save a lot of money and you can ease your child into it. You can still have them coming home after the class, and you can have discussions with them and still have influence on your child. You can use Sheridan College for dual enrollment, which we did when they were in high school, for areas that maybe mom and dad are not strong in, such as Jake took Spanish and Alex English, and they both took public speaking there. Hard for a lot of kids to get in homeschool unless maybe the church or somewhere else offers that chance. One thing you might start thinking about is, can you aim for zero debt for your student coming out of college? I'd suggest, I do have some links on here, but I don't have this one that you can, a paper you can take with you, but I don't have this one on there. It's a Dave Ramsey on YouTube that's "You Can Go Debt Free" is the title. And he's got some good ideas for thinking about how your student could save money. The average student today graduates with $35,000 of debt. That's the average. So half of them are taking on more debt than that. If my calculations are right, it would take 2.5 years to pay that off if they only were able to get a minimum wage job. If they got that liberal arts degree and maybe couldn't get a job, they lived at home, they put every penny towards it. That, to me, is crushing debt, when you have to carry it like that. So what are some ideas? Well, the Ramsey video is good, but you could think if your child could work a few hours. Jake started mowing lawns when he was 12, and that was very good pay compared to the hourly pay. He could make $20 or more an hour doing that. Think about a cheap school. For most careers, you don't need an Ivy League school. It doesn't really make that much difference. So why go to a very expensive school and have that debt? And other ideas that Ramsey has. Now, down to kind of what I call the nuts and bolts. There are four areas I'm just going to touch on, but you can find this information from Sheridan College, or you can find it online. And my email, if anyone has a question, my husband did a lot of the financial stuff, and I could ask Alex too. Four areas I want to touch on is the Hathaway Scholarship and the curriculum for that, dual enrollment, transcripts, and the free application, the FAFSA, free application for federal student aid. ideally, you would want to check out the requirements for the Hathaway Scholarship before ninth grade. But if your student's older than that, don't worry about it, because you're probably teaching the right things anyway. It's required that you have 4 years of math, science, English, and 3 years of social studies. And there's one other category, is fine arts and foreign language category. That's the one that has the biggest difference, the difference between the categories. And I put a link up for this chart, and it tells about the different financial amounts that Hathaway gives right now. And I have that link on this paper. And it tells about what is required for each level. And the way to get the highest level is to have the ACT score that gets you the highest, or the medium. It gives the scores for that. For homeschoolers, the GPA doesn't count. They don't consider that for homeschoolers. There is on, this is off of Department of Education, Wyoming Department of Education website, and they also have an article that is aimed just at homeschooling and Hathaway. So a really excellent resource that will answer all your questions. The Hathaway requirements change by the legislature frequently, so you should check it out. Even if you know what it is 1 year, you might want to double check year to year. You had a first student go through. If you've got another one coming up, then you should recheck what Hathaway is requiring. Okay, the second area I wanted to touch on is dual enrollment. This is a really great opportunity if you think your child's ready to go over to Sheridan College for these classes. They're free. They don't count against the Hathaway because it's during high school. It's easy if your child's 16 or older, they're eligible. If they're younger than that, they might be, but you'll have to work with the college to see if they will let your student in. And we didn't try for that anyway. We didn't start till junior year. The dual enrollment, you count that as credit on the college. Of course, they're counting it on the college transcript, but you also count it on the high school transcript. So that's the dual. And it counts twice as much in high school. So if your student takes a year of Spanish, like Jake got his Spanish there, it's 2 years, which is the requirement for the Hathaway, 2 years consecutive of foreign language. And double check me on this chart. You know, do look at it. Make sure I'm not going to mess you up in any way. But because we were long ago, but I did look at the current one. Your student can take a maximum of 6 credits the first term, and then after that, they can take a full load. They can take up to 16 if you want them to, and the GPA has to stay up high enough for them to be able to stay in that. It also has to stay up high enough once they get to college if they're using Hathaway, if their GPA drops too low. But it's a pretty generous GPA level. I forget what it was. Okay, transcript preparation. People, I think, worry about that more than you need to. It's one of the easiest things about homeschooling is getting the transcript. Back when we were doing them, we got a computer program for about $25 from Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And you just put the grades in and name of your student and so forth, and it formats it beautifully. So it looks just like another transcript. And it's easy peasy. Don't worry about it. HSLDA has since added more transcript preparation helps than they had back then. And the last area I wanted to touch on was the FAFSA. That's the free application for federal student aid, which you must fill out for grants. If you want grants, work study, loans, and some scholarship. Not all scholarships. You must fill it out every year, and February or March is when it's recommended. You'll need the parents' financials unless the person is emancipated. And it's important that you don't put down things that you don't have to claim, such as your own home, or if you have a small business. If you have a large business, you do have to include that. If you have rentals, they count. So you'll want to get the right information, and you can find tutorials, and you can get help from Sheridan College. after you submit it, then they'll generate a student aid report. And they'll ask for which schools you want it sent to when you submit it. Lastly, I wanted to put in a plug for the Homeschool Wyoming Convention, which is coming up May 14th and 15th in Cheyenne. I would recommend everyone go if you can at all get there and bring your spouse. It's such an encouraging time for families. This year they're having a kids program and they're having a graduation ceremony. And it's just really good speakers. And there you are hanging around for 2 days with homeschoolers that you can talk with at lunch and on breaks and hear the things that they're struggling with and see these families that are like yours. It was just an encouragement. We looked forward to it every year so much. I'd also suggest that everybody join Homeschool Legal Defense Association, paid member, and also Homeschool Wyoming paid member. As we see things in Washington look more like we could have more restrictions put on us. Now it's our state level that has, but some of that could come through the state level. Family law is primarily held at the state level, as is the homeschool law. But there could come some pressures from Washington. And so by banding together, Homeschool Legal Defense has done so much for Wyoming, answering questions about bills through the years and just looking at the bills that are coming up. And so does the state group. They protect our right to keep homeschooling freely. So if you can become, I guess we're supposed to be getting some more checks in the mail, and maybe you could apply a little bit of yours to that good cause.
At the end of Jan's talk, her daughter Alex came to the front to answer some questions. So Alex Loftus is the one you hear speaking there, and she is the lawyer and the mother of Jan's grandchildren.
The Sheridan College was a long time ago, so I don't know that I'm going to be very helpful with that other than the resources that my mom already provided and just checking to make sure that the statutes haven't changed with respect to the Hathaway scholarship. That was really helpful. Both my brother and I used that for our first 4 years of college. You can use it at Sheridan College. And then we both transferred to UW after our first 2 years here. And we did both as seniors in high school start in the dual enrollment program. And I thought, but I don't know if this is the same or has changed. I don't recall if you had to pay up front for that and then were reimbursed. And I think at the time you had to have a C grade or better, but I mean, my parents pretty much handled that for me at the time. So I don't know that I'm any help with that. I did go to UW and finish my undergraduate degree there in 2015. I think I graduated. And I was a teacher for a year after that, my undergrad degree is in education. And then after a year of teaching, I went back and got my law degree and had looked into that prior to finishing at UW because I didn't know, you know, what their requirements were for entering law school, and they didn't care as long as you had a bachelor's degree in anything. So I just wanted an education degree because I thought that would be something else I would enjoy. But then ended up going back. As far as FAFSA, that does automatically put you in to their scholarship pool. And they can help with that. But Sheridan College was also really helpful. Just their financial aid office, I went in one time and just asked if they had any other scholarships I could apply for. And they looked at my my grades there and they said, well, your grades are good enough. We can just give you some extra scholarship money. So I would encourage you to have your student just talk to them too and just have that conversation. UW was a little bit more no, we're not. They have a lot of student staffing in that office, so they weren't as helpful one-on-one, but they do have some additional scholarships you can apply to, and they have a page on their website. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Are you practicing law here now?
I just practice part-time. I work about 20 hours a week, yeah, here in town. So, yeah, thanks. So kind of the thing I guess I liked the best about it as I got older was being able to start working part-time because it's so flexible. You know, you can just kind of tailor that education to the child. And if they do want to get a job or if they've got other interests outside the home, that's just a great opportunity. So that was something that was really valuable for me.
Were you nervous at all as a homeschooler entering college or like starting dual enrollment? Like, did you feel, wow, I'm so prepared? Or did you have any thoughts about being nervous?
I think I probably was initially just not knowing what the courses were going to be like, but I don't know. They weren't terribly challenging. So it's doable. Math was harder for me at Sheridan College, and I did take some math classes at UW, and my experience was a lot different down there. So I didn't like, I don't know that it was necessarily the instructional style, but the homework that they had at Sheridan College, I didn't think worked with my learning style very well, and it took a ton of time. And I think I ended up only taking one class at Sheridan College, and then I ended up doing more math at UW, and that just worked better for me. So there is kind of that you have differences between the two experiences, the Sheridan College and then UW. So if something isn't really working, maybe even look into online. When I was at UW, I had some requirements that wouldn't work with my schedule. Like, I needed this class, but they only offer it at two times during the week, and it's conflicting with another one that's only offered one time a week. So there's another option. I used LCCC for a few of my classes while I was at UW also. And those I just did online, but you could probably use their Laramie campus too if they had an in-person class. So that's something else that was, I didn't know what to do. You know, I need this class, but I can't fit it in. And so I don't remember who mentioned that to me, but that was really helpful. So
next we had Jeannie Hoff. She has a son and daughter who are now both in college. And then she's joined after a little bit by Brenda Bailey, who homeschooled three daughters all the way through from kindergarten through high school. And then one is graduated from college and married, and the other two are in college.
I heard a presentation the other night, and the man's voice, it was like 19th century stump politician. It just boomed. It was blocks, and I was thinking, oh, it's so quiet. For my part, I wanted to just give a couple of things that I would encourage people who are considering homeschool to do. We were very unsure about what to do. Each time there was a break point, like when you reach the sixth grade, what do you do? Because you have to decide. And then when you reach the eighth or ninth grade, what do you do? Because you have to decide, because you're kind of committing to that next area. So I wanted to just say that why we did it was that we felt like the time with our kids would be less stressful and that we'd be able to communicate our values. It kind of happened a little bit by accident, because we had gone to Martin Luther Grammar School, and then we went to a year in public school. And there were a lot of complications there, but we thought, well, we'll try homeschool for sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, and then we'll transition to high school. But we ended up just continuing on. And so I had just a couple of pieces of, I guess, I don't know if advice would be the word, but just life-saving things. I wanted to say, if you're thinking about considering junior high or high school, find a mentor. And that is why Brenda Bailey is here, because she was kind of a mentor to me, somebody who's been through what you're looking to do and can advise you. Jan Loftus is another person that I had a few conversations with early on. I believe one of them was in tears. So yeah. I appreciate people who are willing to share, because it's tough. And there are about three different ways to go. There's the online program that people use, virtual schooling. You can also do online curriculums through like a Christian college. I think Liberty has one, or there's various places. Then you can do all your own curriculum, which is what we did. Yeah. And then you can do a combination of the dual enrollment, and then there's the concurrent enrollment too that we haven't personally done. But anyway, so I just wanted to say how important the mentorship and the partnering was.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, Jeannie and I formed a small co-op. And so I wanted Alex to stay. I'm an adjunct math teacher at Sheridan College. So I wanted to say, really? You didn't like the math?
She didn't have you.
Yeah, well, I actually, Pearson, they do an online Pearson, and I know that Nathan's probably mentioned online Pearson. Yes. But anyways, so being a more math type person, and she's English, so we formed a small co-op, and we would get together twice a week, mm-hmm. and she would do English, and then I would do math. With our kids that were about the same age, and it worked wonderful. And then, of course, eventually we found Diane, who did Latin with the girls. And mm-hmm. so there's help out there if you have shortcomings. It's available. So, you know, and a lot of times it's math. I don't know why.
Math.
I don't get it. But
it's a precious resource.
Yeah. Have good teachers.
Yeah, well, but there's help out there. I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. And mm-hmm. so...
And that was something I wanted to add, too, is just to look into the community and see what resources there are. We did a lot with 4-H, and mm-hmm. that gave our kids a sense of community, because in Wyoming, you know, we have such a small population. We have less than 500,000 people in the entire state, as you all know, and so each of our communities is tiny. One time, the dual enrollment coordinator at the college told me he has 100 dual enrollment students. About 10 were homeschool. The rest are from the area high schools because they also use the dual enrollment program. And that gives each kid 24 credits.
24, yeah.
In their junior and senior year. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was interesting that such a small percentage was homeschool. And I had someone come up to me one year and say, where are all the homeschool high school students? And, well, they're out there. There were probably 40 kids at our PE.
Yeah.
During the junior mm-hmm. high years. And so sometimes people are concerned about the prom and, you know, what your kids will do for friendships and what happens to the community feeling. And I would just encourage you to reach out into different areas, like Diane's offered classes, and 4-H is a great resource. Mm-hmm. In Park County, where my sister is over in Cody, they have a gala, a big, like a prom for homeschool. And your girls went up to Billings.
Yeah, Billings has a huge... Nathan's gone. Yeah, it's a ball for homeschools, and there's probably about 400 homeschoolers, and it's the 17th century, so if you... should we be talking about this?
I don't care.
Okay. Well, anyways,
it's...
Okay. All right. So it's 17th century, so if you've ever seen Pride and Prejudice, and they do those songs, and they have the strings, and they have the drums, and it was rock... Oh. Rocky Mountain Church, I think, is the one in Billings that put it on. And the guys wear suits and the girls wear long dresses and they've got, you know, no chewing gum. You know, you have to dress appropriately. And no, I don't know if the boys were allowed to wear hats. The girls would wear gloves. I mean, but it's beautiful. And it's for homeschoolers. And it was a homeschool mom in Billings that started it. And like I say, there was about 400 or 500. And it always closed. You always had to get in early. But then on Saturday... they would, during the day, they'd have a practice, and they'd come in their jeans, and then that night, the kids would come, and, I mean, it was better than a prom, you know, and it was gorgeous, and it was so much fun, and I have some videos, if you ever want to see, or yeah. I can find contact, because with the COVID, they didn't do it. They used to do it twice a year, but now I think they just do it in November, but it's just, and, you know, boys can't dance with boys, but the girls can with girls, because there aren't enough boys. But, you know, they have a grand march, and it's gorgeous to see those girls, and they're literally gowns that they wear. And then it's just like the 17th century dancing, and they have somebody that tells them what to do, you know, you promenade, and then you twirl, and...
And the family is able to do. And my kids wouldn't do it, but her kids came home, and they taught my kids and hers in the basement and a few other people, and it was hilarious to watch, because they were sweet.
So there are opportunities out there, is what we're saying. You know, you find them. And her son went with my daughter one year.
The other thing that we saw homeschoolers do was the high school plays, and then there's also community theater here, and so if there is an interest, there's community choral opportunities for your kids. So we found that, just as Alex said, the flexibility was great. I have two kids. One is about to graduate with a 2-year degree from Sheridan College. We use the dual enrollment program, and he's getting an industrial technology degree because it gave him a chance to do a little bit of welding and a little bit of construction and a little bit, and he's enjoying all of that. My daughter's graduated from high school in this month, too, and she spent a lot of this last year working with an equine therapist. And just loving it and wanting to do that as a career. So I don't think she's going to do the Sheridan College path because they don't offer that, but there's some online courses that we're looking into. So it's a little more complicated, but if you have a chance to use the Hathaway and the college can do something for your kids, starting at age 16, it's just an easy slide into it, and it backs up your grading because you can get, you know, their A makes it look like, well,
it legitimizes your transcript. If they can get an A at the college, it legitimizes what you have given them, which has been really good. It's nice.
And your girls, you have one that's education?
I don't want to interrupt you, though.
No.
Okay. Well, I have three daughters. One, I homeschooled K-12. My girls never stepped into what my father-in-law would call a real school. So I have one that graduated from Chadron State, and she's married and living in Bighorn. And then I have one that's a sophomore at Sheridan College. She's nursing. She wants to go into nursing school, probably in Casper. And then I have one that's a senior in high school. And we've done the dual enrollment. Like I say, it's been wonderful. And they're very receptive to homeschoolers. And we've gone through two dual enrollment coordinators. The first one, you know, he was so, so kind. And then this last one is really, they really like the homeschool kids. This one is Kaylee Dickens, and she's, you know, they're very friendly. You set up an appointment, you go in. As a homeschooler, you're not limited as to what you can take. If you go to the high school, you know, they're kind of limited. You know, they may not allow them to take some of the English or some of the math. But you can take any class. You do have to pay the fees. You have to pay for your books. But other than that, they pay the tuition. And it was a really good experience. I vetted the teachers. And so when it came like to social studies or English, I would ask around. You know, what's this person like? You know, and you just try, as they get closer, you start asking. Because like you say, you don't want them to be with somebody that might have counter values. And then at night, well, what'd you guys talk about? You know, and just that communication. And it was an excellent way to ease them in. And because my girls were always homeschooled, they were ready to be with their own kind. So by the time they were juniors, you know, they were ready to go, you know, out into a classroom. And I think one of the things that really kind of upset them was how some of the students acted in class. Mm-hmm. You know, they would come back and say, you know, sometimes they're kind of rude, and you know, they're not coming to class. And so, you know, that was just beyond them. But it's been a good experience. Sheridan College has been a good experience for them. It's not just because I work there, but it is. It's been great, and the teachers have been phenomenal. And there's lots of help, and it's just they're very friendly. So don't worry about them thinking, oh, homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. It's not that way at all. It's the opposite of anything.
I would add to that the kids who've done homeschool. Like my son's been in the construction program, and he's taken a number of classes, and he has become friends with all the instructors and has had an obvious, noticeable difference in the work ethics between him and some of the other students. And there's another homeschool young man who's doing dual enrollment in some of the construction, and the two of them are getting some of the responsibilities that maybe the other kids would rather throw snowballs at the siding, or, you know, it's just been interesting to watch. So I do think that the homeschool experience gives them a work ethic that the teachers see and they appreciate.
And then the dual, like I say, they come home and they talk to you and they say, well, this person acted like this. Well, you know, what could you do? You know, and not only was it an example, not what to do, but, well, maybe you can encourage them to be, you know, to nicer, or if they talk bad about the teacher, talk good about the teacher, you know, and things like that. So it's just that communication slowly, you know, you can talk with them.
I think the only thing I had, and then I can even sit down, but I wanted to just talk about what the definition of success is as a homeschool teacher of high school students. Because for me, we were looking for character. We wanted our kids to succeed academically, but we were also wanting to have good character. We wanted them to be people that had the respect of others. And so I had a couple of things I wanted to share on that. One is one of my favorite poems by Ralph Waldo Emerson. At least that's who gets credit most frequently, although there's some debate. But it's called What is Success? To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the love of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty and find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. So that's kind of colored our experience trying to homeschool high school, is to try to have them volunteer. We did a little bit of a music group at the VA for a while, and the 4-H is heavily into volunteering. We've done some things at Greenhouse Living. And so as a homeschool group, it's nice because you have the flexibility to do that whenever you want to. And the other thing I wanted to share is that I couldn't find this because I wanted to give it to you all as an opportunity. It was a PDF that I downloaded a while back. It was published in 2004. And it was called Straight Talk to Parents and Teens from Homeschool Graduates. I couldn't find it anywhere online. But I had a part of a quote. They interviewed, I think, 200 kids who graduated from homeschool, high school, just to ask them what they suggested. And my kids like to throw at me, you know how that book says, don't say, I wish we hadn't done this, because we all have our bad days. And I've been known to say, oh, too bad we did this. And it's like, remember that book said, you know, don't tell your kids that. So anyway, but one of them said, success is glorifying God and enjoying him forever. It isn't getting good grades and getting a big scholarship to an academically acclaimed university. Recognize that education isn't about textbooks and research papers and quizzes, and it doesn't stop when you graduate from high school or college, or even after you get a master's or doctorate if you go that path. I like something Mark Twain said, I never let schooling interfere with my education. Don't get bogged down in the bookwork and trying to pull together 20 plus credits. And he goes on, but I just want you to know that, you know, if as you're considering homeschool, high school, you know, there's so many opportunities to build the character with your kids, and you can have academic success. You know, we do have certain standards to meet for the Hathaway and the academic scholarships, and that has worked for us, but you also have the opportunity to just have this kind of success too. So that's all I have.
Well, and then before I forget, because I was trying to keep track of things, fasttranscripts.com is the transcript that I use. It looks very professional. It's $20 a year, and I think you get up to maybe 7 or 8 transcripts, but I only had 3. So unless you have a lot of kids, it will do. And then they keep it. And so 2 years later, because my daughter needed a transcript after even college, her high school transcript, it's still there. So I really like the fasttranscript.com. And what else was I going to say?
More about the Hathaway.
Well, you know, the Hathaway, I also help high school dropouts get their high school equivalency. It's another one of my jobs that I've been doing now that my girls are getting older. I do not recommend the GED or getting your HiSET. The Wyoming uses the HiSET now. It is a college-ready exam. It's equivalent to the GED. It's acceptable. It's just a little bit cheaper, so I think Wyoming is going towards that. But I highly recommend you not do that. It's not necessary. You just need a transcript from you. That's all. And but, you know, because some people think, oh, you know, I need the GED, but you don't, even for the scholarships or for the Hathaway. Just have a transcript. And like Jan said, you go to Hathaway, just Google Hathaway Scholarship, and they have a great website. They've got homeschooling and what to look for. And they have that. They have a template where they have everything that you need, and you just write it in the little squares so you know you have them. They also have advisors that you can contact to make sure, you know, that you have it. And then also you have to keep in mind the ACT. It's worth a lot of money in this state. And I know they start prepping those kids for the ACT at the high school, you know, sophomore. But there are some great books out there, you know, for prepping for the ACT test. But you know, a lot of that is determined on that score, unfortunately. And if you get a 25 on the ACT, you can have free tuition at Sheridan College, and then plus you get the Hathaway, and you know you're set, especially if you live at home.
You get money back.
Yeah, so
my son's getting money back every semester between 12 and 15
Yeah. But all hinged on that one test, which is too bad. But just kind of keep in mind that, you know, maybe as even as a freshman, you know, start looking at some of the questions. And I can't remember the book that I have. I have Kaplan, Homeschool Legal Defense. If you belong to Homeschool Legal Defense, you can get discounts on some of the online ACT prep, like Kaplan. I think it was $99 for a year, you know, and it's just an online thing, and they can go through some of the practice. So, and that was through Homeschool Legal Defense, and so was fasttranscripts.com.
How did your girls go about doing the ACT?
You just go to ACT.org and register them. And we started as juniors. And I had my one daughter had to take it four times. But that's okay, you know, until she got the score she wanted. And my other daughter. And I don't know if sometimes Sheridan College fills quickly as far as the dates go. So when they're a junior or whenever you want to get started, make sure you register them about 3 months early. So start thinking about that this summer, because the times fail. One of my daughters had to go up to Billings to take her test because it was full here, and especially with the COVID, it really fails fast. But I just kind of go ahead and get
Is
those.
SAT not used anymore?
Not necessarily. Not west of the Mississippi.
Yeah,
so. But no, it's not. So in the Hathaways, ACT no writing. So if you're interested in staying in Wyoming for the Hathaway, they take the ACT with no writing. You don't have to do the essay for the Hathaway scholarship, which cuts off about an hour off the test. And you don't have to do the writing part. So I always tell my girls, no writing, because they put you in a different room for that. But, can you think of anything else I should say?
I did. I did want to say something about electives on the transcript, because the high school has the classes online that you can look up and you can monitor the.
You can always go to Sheridan High School and look at what they have students take, and especially on the college track, and that gives you an idea. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be more prepared for the Hathaway. You know, what are they taking as freshmen? You know, you don't have to do the exact thing, but, you know, it kind of gives you an idea of what to follow, which I did as well.
Do you want to say anything about electives? Because we have a lot of fun putting those on the transcripts.
Yeah, well, what kind of electives?
The music.
Actually, the music was for the Hathaway. We did piano. Oh, you know, they have to take either a foreign language or they change at to look at it. Fine arts, and my daughters took piano with Lisa Gilbert. Since Gracie was five. So, and all those count. And you can start with the Hathaway in seventh grade. They'll let you bring so many classes in from the seventh and eighth. And it says that on that Hathaway scholarship. Just Google it. I did right before we came.
Yeah.
So you have the freedom and the scope to say, okay, my child needs this many fine arts.
Yes.
Well, they did this, and
yes.
I deem those as
fine
arts.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And on the transcript, make sure you label them well.
Right.
And it does on that Hathaway scholarship, it's got a homeschool link, and they talk about that. And then they say, when you're labeling things, you know, geography, make sure it's clear. And then for history, we did Bible, and so that counts. Right. It is history. It's true history.
No one ever questions, or it's not
an
approval system. Tell me more about this history.
However,
okay. I will say that my daughter is looking at online Dickinson State University, and they want a syllabus for the classes that we've done. Okay. And so I'm starting to think, because I didn't plan ahead to do that. No, I will be able to create one based on what we've done and what notes I have.
Right. So that's a good idea to keep in mind if they may go out of state.
I would say keep records of anything you do.
Right.
Because, and the 4-H is a great resource because they have you keeping a record each year of volunteer hours and all these things. Because if you don't use the Sheridan in the Wyoming system, and your kid does want to go to college, you might need some different things. That being said, I went away to school at a Christian university quite a few decades ago, and it is not the same ballgame. So I agree with Jan. There's some things to think about if you're kind of looking that direction. But if you're looking at a trade or an occupation that needs a degree, you might need to do things a little differently if it's not the Wyoming system. The Wyoming system is really easy, and you do get money back if you qualify with the ACT and those Hathaway credits. Because when my son went in, qualifying ACT score, transcript was great, you know, because we followed Brenda's advice and looked at the site and tried to make sure the transcript matched with what we had done, with what they required. So, you know, he's getting checks back, and it's great, like Melissa said. Mm-hmm. This process for my daughter is probably going to be a little different. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do things, but they accept a homeschool student at Dickinson State if you have, you know, the syllabus, and I don't know if we're going to do the AC. Well, anyway,
that's different requirements.
Yes. Yeah. Different kids, different bents, totally mm-hmm. different experience. You know, I have two kids and they're so like radically different that I think that is the beauty of the homeschooling. You can kind of work with them, and you can do that in the schools too, but it's nice to have the flexibility. But so that's
And then, you know, there's no perfect program, you know. There's limitations in both, you know, where they go to the public school or whether they're homeschooled. There's no perfect situation, but we just chose to homeschool our kids. We wanted a Christ-centered, you know, curriculum, and we wanted the girls to be close to each other, and they're very close, which is awesome.
They have a lot of fun.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they maybe sometimes too much fun. But yeah, there is no perfect situation here, and you know, if there is a subject that you know you're really concerned about, you know, like maybe math, just seek out help. You know, I can help. There's online classes, and I can tell you some to stay away from. You know, what are some better ones? You can always go to the college and take as a junior and start taking some of their math classes there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. Right. But then when you do that, you know, like at the high school and stuff, you're locked into a schedule. And to me, not having flexibility to go somewhere is really nice. So we have animals. You can't go anywhere anyways. But
leave for a week or two weeks and just get, it's like telling me what you're doing for a week.
Right, right.
What do I tell them? That you're having a school activity.
Right.
They can leave for a week for football mm-hmm. or something. There's no reason why you can't leave a week mm-hmm. for a family activity.
In Sheridan, don't you, if you participate, is it in math alone or maybe math or science? If you participate in those, then you have to participate in standardized testing.
I don't. I think it's so many credits. Oh, okay. Well, I would.
Maybe it's different in high school.
And
that's what they told me at the junior high.
I would just say that this kind of illustrates the real importance of having community. Because if you decide to homeschool, you know, you're having to be pretty strong in what your plan is for your family. And a lot of times I'd say, I don't know if we're going to do this. And Brenda would say, I think you can do this. And I think, okay, she thinks I can do this. Yeah. So if you have some friends that you're starting to connect with, or if you have people that you know of that have done it, you know, it's great to have that community because you really need that mm-hmm. as a homeschool.
So you can network, mm-hmm. well, like we did.
Yeah.
So.
And ask around, find out what people mm-hmm. have done, like, you know, what others have done that's worked or what hasn't worked, or, you know, and then you have the choices to make. Do I want to commit this or not? Because if you want to do sports, you have to do certain things. At our house, we didn't do sports. My son played all the soccer he could. Both my kids played the junior high soccer, and then he played adult soccer once he turned 14. And that was enough for him for the time. Other kids, like you did the tennis.
Yeah, my daughter was on the tennis team at the high school, and to tell you the truth, she got along better with the bus driver than she did with the other kids. You know, she thought they were, you know, for the most part, she didn't really connect with them. She thought they were a little immature. But so she would hang out mainly with the bus driver. So, but she had, it was okay. It was an okay experience, and, you know, it was fine. She was, you know, she was kind of an outsider, you know, to tell you the truth. You know, she was kind of an outsider when it came to being on the tennis team. But she did it for 2 years, and she loved the coach, and obviously she really liked the bus driver.
She's made a lot of friends through the college.
And, mm-hmm. But the college was a much better experience for her than the high school was.
Our last speaker was Melissa Petzold. She has one boy and one girl are in college, and the other two boys are still in school.
I started homeschooling in 2009. I'm Melissa Petzold. My husband is Steven. This is year 13 of homeschooling, I believe. I pulled my kids out in kindergarten, first grade in Massachusetts. We're a military family. That was not a good experience. Don't go to either coast for public schooling. My kids are a college sophomore who's transferring to School of Mines in South Dakota this fall. He's going to be an engineer. And he's a brilliant child. And then I have a daughter who chose not to go to college this year with that remote learning. She's going to go ahead and go to UW, also engineer. They have thoughts. I have a seventh grader who's doing geometry right now. He also plays football for the Sheridan Junior High, wrestles in the Sheridan Junior High, and is in the wrestling club for Sheridan County. And then I have the fifth grader who is my wandering child, totally plans on being a surgeon, and they're smart kids. Things you guys mentioned that I made notes on, Brenda corrected it. Dual enrollment is paid only in the 11th and 12th grade, or equivalent of. They'll pay up to 12 credit hours a year. And they also buy the books. No, you don't have to pay beforehand. If the class is offered at the high school as a concurrent class with the college, they have to take the class at the high school, which means English 1010 is typically taught at the high school. You have to take English 1010 at a high school if you want to get the dual enrollment money or to have it. Actually, it doesn't count against your 12 credit hours of dual enrollment, so you could actually end up with like 15 credit hours of college in 1 year. It's both my kids did that. My children took college classes starting at age 14 and 15 here at the Sheridan College. What we did is we went to the Sheridan College when they were that age. We asked for the AccuPlacer. They took the AccuPlacer in math and English. They both scored really high in English. So since the high school was teaching English 1010 as a concurrent class, they both went to the high school to take the class.
If they don't want them to go to the high school, can they take it at the college, but it just doesn't count?
You can take it at the college, yes.
Okay, but it doesn't count as dual enrollment.
It doesn't count. It counts as, they'll still count as a dual enrollment, okay. But you're responsible for the cost.
Okay.
Well, you can take up to 24 credits in your junior year 12 and your senior year 12. You can take almost any class. I mean, there's some restrictions, like certain welding classes you can't take. But you can take the English 1010 and apply it to your high school transcript, and they cover, you have to pay the books.
But you don't have to.
No.
If you don't want your kid at the public school, that's what you can still find a way. Yes.
They made us. If we wanted them to pay for it,
right?
They wouldn't. Okay. Because they offered the class at the high school.
Right.
See, my girls didn't do the high school. Right.
They didn't do the high school at all.
So Melissa, how many hours were yours? You did concurrent enrollment with yours.
Mine did concurrent and dual, and Nathan left with 30 credit hours as a senior, and Elsa 28.
And I'm wondering what they consider concurrent enrollment at the high school. Is that like 4 hours a day? Or
no, you were at the high school taking the class.
So no, I mean in general, like how many hours a day?
For each class is like 45 minutes at the high school.
So they require you to take two classes or four?
I got it. If you're going to take a class at the high school, you have to take two.
Okay, that's what I'm
saying. You can't take more than three, or they have to make you enroll as a high school student. So with my two children that are just, one just finished this last summer and the other one a couple of years ago, was they looked at the schedule, they found the classes that most suited their schedule, and they drove themselves. And then if, my son did first an 8:15 and the next class right after that. Then he drove down to my brother's, did his online work at the college because he also had history and English history classes, and he did some CAD classes and stuff too at the college. So he had his own schedule. It was just like a growing up college kid. It's just they were 14, 15, 16, and 17. And they had driver's license, and they took their selves to places they need to go.
So
if you want to start them younger than 16.
My daughter started at 15.
Then you do the Accuplacer. That's a test.
It's Accuplacer. It's a test.
You have to do the Accuplacer thing regardless.
Yeah, you'll have to do it regardless for college classes.
To get into math.
And English.
But they don't do grammar anymore. It's just reading. Mm-hmm. My first daughter had to do grammar and reading for the English. And now it's just reading and the math. And the Accuplacer is not timed.
Nope.
So even though, you know, they have, like the ACT is timed, and it's hard.
Right.
And my girls, we didn't test much. Right. They were always home. They didn't see tests very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of a sudden you take this test and do, you know, it was kind of tough for them as far as the time goes. But the Accuplacer is not timed, and that was really nice. And it's $5, and you take it at the college.
The testing center, you just walk in and ask.
And that's something that's only required for high schoolers to take Accuplacer, or is this?
If you're going to take classes? If you're going to take college classes at all, you have to take an Accuplacer. Even when you
grad, I go back to college?
Yes, you will.
Yeah,
they will make you take an Accuplacer.
Okay.
Yes, they even make the high school graduates. They go to a college. There's a placement test for every college. Even my daughter took a placement test for her math. Even though she finished the calc for trig at the high school, UW still made her take a math placer test. Yes, no matter what.
Does their score tell them what?
The score tells them what you're going to go into for your math class.
Yeah, because if you score, I was just talking to them today. My daughter has to take the Accuplacer tomorrow. But if you score like a 67, then you can take the 1400. And then otherwise, if you score a little bit lower, you take the 930. A little bit lower, you take the 900.
Yeah, each of those numbers she's saying will match your last high school class, like geometry or algebra 1 or pre-algebra or trig. Each of those scores will match that from the Accuplacer.
And one other thing is that they used to not let you use dual enrollment for like a 900 or a 930. Let's say, I don't know why I use math as an example, but if you're not real good in math and your student doesn't do well, when they take the Accuplacer, I've got some homeschoolers in one of the classes that I teach that's like considered, it's a 900 class.
Which is lower level
which
math.
Is low level math.
Okay.
And then they can, through their dual enrollment, they can get caught up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, at the college, taking college, those college classes. They used to not let them use their dual enrollment for the 900, but I'm seeing high school kids in this 900 class or the 930. So 900 and 930, they don't count towards your degree. They count on your transcript, but you have to have them to get into a degree program.
Right.
So, you know, it's not the end of the world if they're not geniuses in math. You know, it's okay. There are ways to get caught up.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, you can work around.
I'll bring it back. I want to bring this back around to this thing. Somebody asked it was Jan, about our morals and how they work into college. I found it very, 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 very valuable for my kids to take their civics classes through dual enrollment in high school. When they were teaching our history up to 1865 and history after 1865, there was a lot of just plain lying about our history. And I was able to see that, and I pulled out the things that were wrong and taught it the way that, you know, morally we felt strongly about. At the same time, it allowed me as a parent to help them learn how to write around a professor. They still got straight A's. They still did not lie. And they passed their class, and now we're moving on, and they still have their morals. Where if I had sent them blindly to UW as a freshman, and they would have been in those classes, yeah, it's very easy to turn our right-wing children into left-wing liberals. Now it's not going to be so easy, because it allowed us to guide. It's that super important to us also. So I know there's this fear of public school system, that kind of thing, but at the same time, we're able to bring it home with us and help them through. And learning how to write around a professor is an invaluable tool. I had to learn that on my own when I was in college. I have a bachelor's in animal science, so I've done college a long time ago. I had that on there about taking as many as two and as few as three. Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they have FAST transcripts associated with them. That's what we use. It's a piece of cake. I did the $110 option, lifetime membership for up to 7 kids. I have 4, and they're 10 years graduation difference, so I don't have to think about it. I'm all good. They also send their transcripts, like if you needed an official transcript for college, you just hit send official transcript, and they whip it off. And it's never been questioned in my kids.
They do look fabulous.
And they also do that electronic transfer that the college require for a lot of transcripts now. They do that for you, too, at FAST Transcripts. It's brilliant. If they're in the high school, either at the Bighorn Junior High or out at Tongue River, as a junior, you get to take the ACT for free. It's part of the curriculum as juniors. Both of my kids took the ACT at the high school. It didn't cost me a penny. Nathan didn't have to retake it. He scored a 28 as a junior. That's my oldest. It was not a problem with him. My daughter scored a 24, and she really, 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 really wanted the highest Hathaway. So she went, she signed up early at the Sheridan College as a senior, took it, and she has the highest Hathaway score now. So she's good. She was a year behind him in her math level just because that's how she learned math. He's always had an easy time in math. It's sinful. School activities. If you're a homeschooler in Sheridan School District 2, you can participate in all the school activities. You don't have to take a class. If somebody tells you elsewise, you go talk to your principal and have a discussion because they're lying. High school does have an activities charge, but that's across the board. Doesn't matter if you're a homeschooler or in the school system. You have to pay an activities fee. That's junior high, it's $7, and high school, it's $107. My son, the oldest, the middle son, he's my 13-year-old who's 5'9" and wears a size 13 shoe. He plays football, and he does wrestling. He does both really well. He does Sheridan has a wrestling club. He does that. He's my super active child who I drive around everywhere. My youngest son does track and cross country. He's been doing it within the recreation district like Jeannie was talking about. But this fall, the cross country coach asked him to actually start the spring with cross country through Sheridan Rec rather than waiting because he's homeschooled and we can. What I taught up to the eighth grade, I didn't teach with any curriculum. I taught what they were interested in. I made sure they did math every day according to their level of ability. My youngest two were in Martin Luther. I pulled them out back to homeschool when I went back to home full-time instead of working. I teach around their interests. One wants to be a pharmacist. One wants to be a doctor. So what is our science? Do we do plants? No. Do we learn mitosis? Yes. If someone wants to deliver people drugs, he wants to be a pharmacist. You have to know how mitosis and meiosis works for that. It's science. So parts of the animal? No, we do parts of the human. We dissect things because I live on a farm and we can. But I don't teach a curriculum. I teach reading, writing, and mathematics. If they want to read about a human anatomy, we sit and read the science about the humans. They're brilliant boys, and I have no doubt they're going to make do with what they're doing. At the eighth grade, I started teaching for the Hathaway with older two. I looked and said 4 years of math. I'm not good at math. I have done through calculus. I don't do math. My husband does math. He was failing as a math teacher. That's when we decided to put both of the kids in the Sheridan High School, and they did their math science. And once they had math and science classes there, they did chemistry through there. We did biology at the college, and it worked out. So no one has to do a curriculum. Don't get too focused on that. Teach for your kids' sake, not for the system's sake. There has not been one college that I have been to that will not accept whatever transcript you bring them if your kids already have 28 credit hours of school from a college. So if you get 28 credit hours from Sheridan College, they will not question your high school transcript. It doesn't matter what college you go to. My son's going to School of Mines. It's a hard college to get into. There was no question. He sent his paperwork in, and 10 hours later they said, you've been accepted, literally. So I think parents sweat it a little too much. You don't want to lose your kid's childhood. You don't want to lose. You're not their friend. But at the same time, you should treat homeschool as something that you're committed to and stays fun.
We can just mingle after this, but I thought I would say one more thing, especially since we focus so much on getting through high school and into college. Yeah, college is not the be-all and end-all of success. I have three kids. One of them just turned 38. He didn't go to college. It wasn't for him, but he makes more money than we do. He's been working in the oil field for 17 years, and he just keeps, you know, learning. And that is what we taught them, was just keep learning and use that to get to where you want to be. And I think that we don't want to focus too much on getting into college if that's not what your kid wants. That there's no reason to go to the trouble. And I've been thinking a lot about some of the standards, even with like what the school wants. I had a friend last year who was just panicking because her granddaughter wasn't even 5 yet, but she had taken the kindergarten entrance exams or whatever they call them, and she didn't know if she was going to know enough for them to let her into kindergarten. I'm going, isn't that what they're supposed to teach them? But think about whose standards we're trying to reach. Well, maybe I should go like this, you know. Because isn't the reason that we're homeschooling because we don't agree with their standards? So don't get lost in jumping through the hoops of the high school or the college and thinking that one of you said that your kids were weird or an outsider, whatever. Yeah. You said about on the tennis team. We taught our kids to be outsiders. Yeah. That you're going to be, and we want you to be. So even though we have people here who are going to college, don't feel like that you fail if your children don't want to do that, because some of the smartest people don't.